Welcome to Wealthy After 40. I am so excited for today's guest, Dee Dee Bays, and she is from math teacher to insurance agent to financial advisor. She has been helping people manage their finances for over 16 years and is very passionate about empowering others to take control of their money, no matter their age or their net worth. She brings a softer, more compassionate touch to financial planning and investing. She believes in aligning your inner self with your money. She believes in contributing to the greater good. All these things she was able to weave into her practice and now only works with clients who want the same things for themselves. I love Dee Dee's mission. I was so glad to connect with her probably about a year ago and just learn more about her, what she's got going on. So Dee Dee, tell us about, I know you call it soul-based planning, but tell us about your mission and your vision and how that all works.
Sure. So I do want to clarify that I'm a fee-only advisor now. So that means I don't sell financial products to people. I'm paid to give advice that's in your best interest. So even though I have the insurance background, I don't sell any products. So as far as my mission, I believe strongly that financial planning is more than just a math problem. And I feel like when I was younger and trying to seek out advice, I felt like everybody that worked with us or that we were considering working with, all they wanted to know was how much money we had and how much we made and how much we spent. And that was it. It's like they really didn't want to know who we are, what we valued in life, if we felt like there was a life mission that we were trying to accomplish. And so that's what I decided. When I decided to go off on my own, I decided that I wanted to get deep into the weeds as far as who are you? What do you want to accomplish in life? Not just financially, but emotionally. And do you want to, do you feel like you have a life mission? Or do you feel like you just want to be here and enjoy life? You know, and if you do, what does that look like? So I want to know about the person as a whole before we get into financial planning. And then the other component to what I call soul-based financial planning is finding out what's your relationship with money? Do you have any, you know, voices in your head, either conscious or subconsciously guiding your decision-making? Because if you do, I can come up with a nice financial plan, but if you've got self-sabotaging tendencies, guess what? That's probably going to happen. So we need to talk about it, bring it to light. And yeah, I just want to know about you totally as a person. And then I can help do the financial planning to represent you and guide you into, you know, and it goes as far as, you know, where you put your money in investments that you believe in, you know, and maybe working, you know, if you're doing just savings accounts, making sure that you're putting your money in banks that align with who you are. So yeah, I just feel like it's deeper. It's a deeper financial planning process than just, hey, how much do you make? How much do you have? How much can I invest for you? That kind of thing.
I think it's so important to bring the individual into their money because, you know, it's like personal finances. I tell people it's personal and what one person is doing, another person probably shouldn't. You know, we can learn from one another, but we really got to reach inward. So I also know that you have an average clientele of about age 60, and myself, I'm targeting Gen Xers, and I always get asked, you know, so what do we do if we're falling behind, if they haven't started saving a lot in their 20s, 30s, 40s? Like, you know, how do you help them? How do you instill hope? How do you guide them? And really, are they lost?
So this goes back to understanding who they are as a person and what their gifts are, what their hopes and dreams are. I know, like, being in the public schools, teaching in the public schools, we had to go along with a curriculum that matched like the average student, and everyone was to fall in line kind of thing. And I think a lot of people think like that when it comes to retirement. They're like, oh, they see these articles where you should have this amount in your 401k before you can retire. And then there's these people over here that have, money, they put money into a Roth and they're able to retire early because they overdid this. And there's just so much out there, information-wise, bombarding us with all these stories about other people and how they're making it work. And what I like to do is meet people where they are and talk about what's possible for them. There isn't a one-way street to retirement. You can make a good retirement from other ways than building a ginormous 401k. For instance, just to give you an example, there are people that do, when they have extra money, they get into a house. Okay, and then they build equity in the house, and then they use that equity to buy a purchase or to purchase a second property, and then maybe they use it, and they keep doing this, and they have multiple properties. So when they get to retirement, they've got all these properties generating income for them, and maybe that's a replacement for a 401k. It just comes down to creating a path for you using what you know and what your strengths are. And maybe real estate's not it. Maybe you create a business that it's something that somebody else would want to purchase in 10 to 15 years. There's just not one way to retire. And that's what I love about working with people is I love the problem-solving component to it to say, okay, here's where you are. What can you do? What do you enjoy doing? And give them different ideas on how they can build their wealth that's not necessarily the traditional way. Now, there are people that can put 10 or 15% toward their employer-sponsored retirement plan, and that might be just perfect for them, but it's not perfect for everyone. And I like to acknowledge that with people. So there's always a way to come up with a retirement. You can build a retirement in a different way than everyone else is my message.
Yes, I love that. I believe that as well. And not giving up hope at any stage and just figuring it out. And there's all different ways to figure it out, right? We got to know who we are, know what we want. What does that look like? What do we love? So yes, I just recently took on a client who is looking to have 100 doors by the time she's 50 and she's 43. And so you know what? We're going to tackle it. We're going to get her on the
Yeah.
road, So there's always hope. There's always, a dream you can achieve. And I love that. So yeah, so I also know that you've done something new. You are applying. I think you have one more test to be an enrolled agent for taxes. Tell us more.
So this dream of mine started back in my 40s. So I worked as an assistant to a woman who owned a small boutique firm in Oklahoma, and she was a CPA and a CFP. And she always told me that she got her CPA first, and then she saw people needed good financial advice. And I got to see her in action, thought she was brilliant, loved her, and thought, my gosh, I would love to do something like that one day. So fast forward, I end up going to my husband and I moved out of state to Colorado, and I started working at a credit union. I had to think about it. I was going to give you the name, but it won't mean anything to anyone else because it's just in the state. Anyway, I started working at a credit union and started, being a financial advisor and doing the whole more, more, more. I mean, it's very revenue driven if you're not familiar with that, but there are people going, okay, so how much money did you bring in to invest? And how much is that going to, generate in revenue? And here's your goal. Okay, you met that goal. Here's another. And it was just about more, 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 bringing in more and more clients. So anyway, it was like that didn't feel right to me after being at that small firm. And then so I went off on my own, started my own financial planning company, decided to be fee only, so I don't sell products. And I was, I'm 3 years into that, and I'm seeing that people are not always getting the best tax advice, even if it is a CPA. Well, there's just one. So anyway, it became a mission of mine to understand tax law and see what we could do tax wise. And And I would say, well, here's what I found out, and let's do this kind of tax planning. And it finally dawned on me, it's like, well, why don't I just do the taxes for them, with them, and we can do the tax that way. I have all the tax information for them. I know I'm going to give them ethical advice, and then we can do tax planning from there. And when we do tax planning and financial planning, it's usually, when do you do Roth conversions? If you need to sell off assets, when do you need to sell them? Do you sell them all at once? Do you break it out over years? Because there are some consequences to getting your income too high if you're in retirement, because it could affect your Medicare or, yeah, your Medicare premiums. And so there's a lot of tax components to the financial planning anyway. And like I said, I just wanted to jump in. I enjoy learning about tax law. I know it's kind of weird. I retain it. And so I was like, okay, this plays to my strengths. So why don't I come in and help them with their taxes? And then that feeds nicely into the financial planning as well. And then on top of it, I know they're getting quality advice, and I'm giving them advice in their best interest, and they're being taken care of from start to finish. So yeah, and I to be an enrolled agent, you have to pass three exams. And the first exam's over individual taxation, the second exam is over business taxation, and then the third exam is how to represent a person in front of the IRS. So if they have to go through a tax audit or something like that, or if there's a lot of other things too. But so yeah, I'm on my final test. I'll take that this week, and I am excited to be able to offer tax preparation for 2024. And so yeah, that's kind of the journey that I took. But it all goes back to wanting to take care of people in the most ethical way possible, to where they know, I know they're getting the advice that they need, and somebody's not overlooking something that they have no idea because they haven't seen the financial plan.
I know financial literacy covers taxes as well as insurance and all of those things. So, bringing on guests like yourself to help educate us in all of these areas is so important. So, all right, I know my services are virtual, so I can work with anybody, US, Canada, whatever. How about you? Tell us a little bit about how we contact you, who you serve, all of those things.
Okay, so I am a virtual firm. I'm based out of Estes Park, Colorado. So I do have a few clients that like to come up here so they can see me in person, because I live in Estes Park and they can see Estes Park. It's right next door to Rocky Mountain National Park. But I primarily work virtually. I can work with anyone in the United States. I can't work with people outside the United States unless they were clients of mine before they moved. And then the tax situation, I can do taxes in all 50 states. And obviously, it'll be the same thing. It'll be mostly virtual. But if I've got some local people that want to, come by and see me in person, I have an office out of my home, so they can come in person as well. But it'll be mostly virtual.
And so tell us the name of your business, how they can contact you.
The name of my business is Alphameda, and I have Alphameda Financial Services, and I have Alphameda Tax Services. And the name Alphameda is a made-up name. It's the combination of three words. It's alpha, female, and Donita. So, alpha female, that's why it's Alfem, not alpha. It's Alfem for alpha female. And the ITA is the last three letters of the name Donita, which is my given name, but I was also raised by my maternal grandmother, and I was named after her. And when I was 18, I ended up being adopted by her. So she was somebody that I feel like I was a messed up little kid, and she saw the diamond in the rough and always thought that I would do great things one day. I didn't see it, she did. And so she passed when I was 20, and it's like, I live my life wanting to make sure she's proud, even though she's not here. I do believe she's here in spirit, and I want to make her proud, because I feel like her love and her guidance is how I turned out to be normal. So Alphameda Financial, Alpha Female, and Donita. Target market, I target women over 50 who are either married, divorced. Well, when I say married, usually the women who are married are the ones who like to take charge of the family finances. So I'm okay if you're married. I don't have a problem with men. I just don't like to focus in on men. I want to focus in on women because there are different concerns and different needs that women have that men may or may not. So married, single, recently divorced, or long time divorced. If you receive an inheritance and you don't know what to do with it, I actually prefer people who have not grown up in money that then they get money and they really would like to know the best way to handle it. Because to me, those people are learning, and I'm being a former teacher, I love to teach. And so yeah, if they inherited money and then did I cover death of a spouse? If you've experienced death of a spouse, I would be happy to help you through the process, the financials on that, just because I do believe it takes a more, or you should be exposed to a more compassionate person, especially after you've lost a spouse. And so, yeah, women over 50 that fit in that category. And the only other thing is I only like to work with people who are kind. I don't like working with people who are mean. I have a very kind heart, and I get along well with other people who have kind hearts as well.
Yes, you do. I will agree with that 100%. And did you know 85% of households' money, so the day-to-day finances, are managed by women? But I think it's only 20 or 30% of those women actually get a say in the long-term investing. So definitely you're filling a gap. Reaching out to women, we need to empower women to have that money confidence. And I don't know if you experienced this or you probably have over the years. I know that money is definitely a taboo topic in many conversations, in many households, from parents to children, and then within, as well as coworkers, all the things. So share with us any experiences or any thoughts that you have about how conversations can be more easy.
So, first of all, I'm a strong believer in you are on your path and you are where you are supposed to be. You may not like it at the moment, but it's your path, and nobody has the right to judge you for where you are. And so, whenever I have these conversations with people, I want to make it clear that no matter what they tell me, there is zero judgment from me. And what I have found, the judgment often comes from themselves, and I have to coach people through, it's okay. We all have to go through learning and making mistakes before we are become wise about stuff. So we are not born just knowing all this stuff about money. And then the other thing is, the teacher in me, I want everyone that I work with to fully understand what options they have. And so when people work with me, I want to work as a team with that person. And it's my job to educate you on what your options are that will work. And then it's up to you to decide the final path. But I'm here to educate, love unconditionally, and help as many people as I can. So the biggest thing I want people to know is there are advisors out there that don't believe in judging people for past decisions that they've made. It's where are you now, and how can we get you to where you want to go with zero judgment and just total compassion and support.
Oh, yes, I wholly agree. I know because I work with a lot of individuals in getting out from under debt, and they're ashamed, they're embarrassed. And I'm the same as you. I'm like, I don't care how you got here because that doesn't matter. What matters is where we are today and where do you want to go? And just being able to, like you, solve a problem, solve the puzzle, create options. I believe options are very empowering. So I love that as well. Well, before we close, is there anything that you want to add? Maybe a tip you can give our listeners as to something they can work on today to move them forward, whether it's financial advising, financial planning, or taxes?
I would say, well, first of all, I'm going to do a little plug. I do have a book called Soul-Based Financial Planning. If you're a little more reserved and you don't really want to talk with someone yet and you want to, kind of get into the middle of, looking at stuff, in my book, Soul-Based Financial Planning, one, I take people through exercises for them to understand their relationship with money. And then my final chapter is actually telling you what a financial planner is going to ask you in meetings and why we need to know that information. So you can go totally prepared to speak with a financial planner after reading my book. You don't have to use me. You just need, I mean, I just believe everyone could use help somewhere. As far as tips for people, I would say just whether it's doing it on your own or doing this with somebody, know what you have. And, treat it like the whole elephant analogy, take it one bite at a time. You need to know, if you're an employee, you need to know what's being taken out of your paychecks and what is paying for, how much you're paying in taxes, how much you're is going toward employee benefits, how much of that are you paying versus what your employer's paying. Secondly, know what your benefits are through your employer. And then, know about your debt by, and I know you of all people know this, sticking your head in the sand and feeling guilty because you have debt doesn't solve the problem. You need to know exactly who you owe, how much you owe, what your monthly minimum is, what your interest rate is that they're charging you, and you have a good picture of all of it. All of it you that you owe. The other thing is know what you pay quarterly, annually, semi-annually, and that needs to be put into your budget. So if it's annual, something you pay annually, you need to divide it by 12 and have a monthly amount, that you put away, or maybe you do it, by 26 and get 26 weeks if you. Anyway, I'm getting in the weeds. Just know your debt and know what you need to do to get out of debt. I'm not a big believer that everybody has to be debt free. Is it nice to be debt free? Oh, absolutely. But there's also no judgment if you're quite a bit in debt, because we all have to live and we all need to pay some things off, and we may not have the resources to pay it off. And then finally, well, no, not finally, know how much you're putting toward your retirement, how much you're putting toward just, your emergency savings, your investments, and then know how you're invested. And that you may need to work with, a financial professional, because something that is important to me is I want to be in alignment with my money. I want where my money goes. I want it to feel good to me. And if you are just blindly in investing in index funds, chances are there's some companies that you're invested in that you don't believe in at all. And that's a little bit about out of alignment. Now, it can be by choice that you're doing that and you're like, I don't care, I want the returns. But a lot of people want to use their money to represent what they believe. And then finally, know what happens if you suddenly pass. It's not a very good talk. I mean, it's not a fun topic to talk about, but none of us are going to make it out of this life alive. So planning for the what ifs if something happens to you, and you need to know if something happened to me today, what's going to happen to my loved ones, So yeah, that's kind of know everything is kind of what I just said. But just be aware of all of that. And if you need someone to guide you through, there are lots of us that will do free consultations that we can help you get a handle on knowing what you have.
Wow, so very, very good. Yes, that is the step I do with all my clients. We get into their weeds and we know exactly what we're dealing with. So very, very important. Something you can do on your own. So thank you. Oh, yes.
I have one more thing that people may not realize. So I do comprehensive financial planning, and part of that is insurance analysis. So I don't sell insurance, but I've been licensed to sell insurance in the past, both life, health, disability, Property and casualty, all of it. I've been licensed before. So whenever people do a financial plan, I also do an insurance analysis to see if one, they're overpaying, they're underpaying, they're overinsured, underinsured. So we look at if your insurance or logic insurance coverages are logical to, your life. So that's another component a lot of people don't realize that's a part of the financial planning process.
Yes, very important to pay attention to how much you actually need. Yeah, I think some insurance salesmen just blanket it as, why wouldn't you want to leave your family this much amount? Consider it, think about it. So, yes, thank you for all of the wonderful information today. And listeners, I hope you can take action. You will find all of Dee Dee's links in the show notes below. She's on LinkedIn, she's on Facebook, and her book is on Amazon. So thank you for being here, Dee Dee. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Daylene. I always love talking with you.
Yes, me as well. Thank you.